I'm Kevin Kelly. The show's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. And on the program today, Melissa Miller, who's director of the Milliken Children's Choir. Really, choirs. There are four of them. A couple of them performed earlier this week, and the two top choirs are going to perform Sunday afternoon, Indicator, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And in the later portion of the show, we'll talk with Jeremy Swirling, who is music director of the Danville Symphony Orchestra, and also Garrett Taylor, who is a Catlin native, who is making his way as a singer, actor, and pianist, and he will be singing with the Danville Symphony on their holiday concert on Saturday. It's Live and Local. Stay tuned. That was music by Johannes Brahms, In Stiller Nacht, in the quiet night, in the still night, performed by the Vesna Children's Choir of Moscow. Alexander Ponomarev, I should have practiced that ahead of time, their director, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9. By way of introduction to my conversation next with Melissa Miller of the Milliken Children's Choir, who are giving the top two choruses of which are giving a concert on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Indicator. And Melissa, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
What's the location for the concert?
The concert will be at First Lutheran Church. It's on Decatur Street, Indicator.
And are there tickets that are required, or do people just show up? Is it
just
free?
Just show up. It's free, and come one, come all. Everyone's welcome.
Excellent. So tell us about the Milliken Children's Choir program.
Excellent. The program is actually, this is our ninth year of the program. It started out as just one choir and has grown to be four choirs. We are a K through 12 program, so we have kindergartners all the way through seniors in high school. Our kinder choir is just 5 and 6 year olds, and then they go up through the apprentice singers, the singers choir, and then concert youth chorale. So on Sunday, those that came to the concert, they would hear the singers choir, which are approximately 4th through 6th graders, and then concert youth chorale as well, which is the oldest, the premier performing ensemble of the program, and they're 7th through 12th graders. And then we have some smaller groups that are sort of portions of those. So, for example, in Concert Youth Chorale, we highlight some of the stronger female singers with a women's ensemble. They'll perform a piece. And we also have a high school ensemble that was created actually just a few years ago because we didn't have a place for those boys with changed voices to sing. So we started the high school ensemble, which is an auditioned group as well, and they'll perform a few pieces on Sunday.
And that one is a mixed group.
It is a mixed group. All of the other ensembles are strictly treble ensembles. So they're, any boys that are singing in the groups are all using their unchanged voices. And then with that high school ensemble, that's the only mixed, that mixed choir. So they're the only ones singing true SATB music, if you will.
Right, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. What's the balance of girls versus boys in the throughout the program, just out of curiosity?
You know, that's a good question there. It kind of ranges from year to year. There are, generally speaking, though, more girls than boys as a general rule. But we've always got a handful. And I will say the exciting piece of that high school ensemble is that many of those boys have been with our program since it began. So they've been, you know, this is their 5, 6, 7, 9th year of performing with us for some of them. And so not only their musicianship, but just their growth throughout the program is so exciting. But there's definitely more girls than boys. And that's, you know, we want to encourage all those boys to come out and sing with us.
Well, that's pretty encouraging. I would think that all those boys have stuck around because if they hated it, they could easily just leave.
And exactly.
Anybody could.
Exactly. No, I think they do enjoy it. And, you know, it's something, especially with that ensemble now, to kind of look towards, this is where I finally get to be eventually. I think it's a nice thing. They can really see the whole spectrum of opportunities with the program.
What do you think it is? I mean, this is a perpetual issue, and I never really understand it. That makes it difficult for boys to decide, oh, I want to join a choir. Or it's cool to sing, or what is the deal with that?
You know, gosh, if I knew the answer, I would be a millionaire. But I think there are a couple of things that play into that. And, you know, I think it takes a really charismatic teacher and director, first and foremost, I think, to get folks interested in singing. And there's, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes that one has to encounter, especially boys. Sometimes, you know, it's not the activity of the family, we'll put it that way sometimes. And so sometimes it's a little bit more awkward to get involved. But I will say those boys also have a challenging part with that voice change that happens right at your most insecure time anyway, with your growth hormones and everything, and just trying to get through all of that. And then your voice starts to change. Adolescence is just wicked anyways. And so I think a lot of boys that are interested in singing then just kind of quit because it gets awkward. But I am particularly proud of this program for kind of allowing us to get through that, kind of have the hurdle of singing all throughout the ages. But I do think a lot revolves around that teacher getting some excitement there, and, you know, just getting that love of singing.
Well, so speaking of, how many of the choirs do you work with?
This particular year, I have found myself directing Concert Youth Chorale. That's the oldest choir. And also I assist with the high school ensemble. That's that mixed ensemble we're speaking of. My husband actually directs the mixed ensemble as well. So it's kind of a fun family event for us. However, in years past, this is my first year directing Concert Youth Chorale. In the past, I've always directed the level, the 4th through 6th graders, the singers choir. So I've kind of had my experience with all of the different groups when we're doing combined music and such, but this year with Concert Youth Chorale.
Have you been involved since the inception? You said 9 years ago?
You know, that's an interesting thing, too. I actually was at Millikan as a student when the Children's Choir program started, but that was my senior year, and so I was not involved. But this is my 5th year with the program. It just kind of turned out, you know, twists of fate, moving from here to there, and I just ended up back in Decatur. And so this will be my 5th year for being with the program.
And during those previous five years, did you just work with the singers' choir, or did you work with the younger ones, even the younger ones as well?
I've worked primarily with the singers' choir, but one nice thing with our program, we have different allots of time during our rehearsals where we work combined. So, for example, for the first 15 minutes of every rehearsal, generally speaking, with the younger three choirs, sometimes they meet together. And so I really got the opportunity to also work with Kinder Choir and the Apprentice Singers when they were kind of the mass choirs. So that was an exciting piece. And then on the flip side, Concert Youth Chorale and the Singers Choir always do some combined things. And in the spring, we have a huge, you know, where everybody is on stage at once. So it's exciting.
And the other two choirs, Kinder Choir and the Apprentice Singers, they sang on Tuesday, was it?
They did. Actually, the younger three choirs, that's right, the Kinder Choir, Apprentice Choir, and the Singers Choir, all three performed on Tuesday at Millikan. Kinder Choir and the Apprentice Singers are directed by Christine Smith, who's a stellar early childhood music teacher. She's just phenomenal. And the Singers Choir is directed by Kathleen Bell, who's also just phenomenal with the age group she's working with. I have the best staff in the whole world. They really make the program shine. And the concert was excellent. Standing room only. It was great.
But the Sunday's concert includes the singers' choir again.
Exactly.
Are they singing the same things, or are they doing some additional music?
Yes and yes. They will do the same things. And then they'll also join Concert Youth Chorale for a few combined pieces as well. So they get to double dip.
So you're in charge of this whole program.
Correct.
And what did you do at Millikan? Which program were you in?
My undergrad is in vocal music education from Millikan, and then I taught for a few years, and then kind of saw myself getting. I actually went to Illinois State and got my master's degree there, also in vocal music ed and conducting, and then started a family, and then just sort of, like I said, just kind of ended up in Decatur.
And then you're back into the program. Well, let's hear a sample of the choir. You brought along a CD of, was this a previous concert?
This is a previous concert. This was actually our spring concert of last year. The first selection you'll hear is Concert Youth Chorale, and that actually was directed last year by Beth Holmes, who is now still working in the Millikan community, but primarily with private voice students and also directing one of the collegiate choirs. And the accompanist is Jeannie Rady.
And what's the piece?
The piece is Cantate Domino.
By?
Berg.
Berg, as in not Alban Berg. Is it really? Don't know. Let's see what it sounds like. Millikan Children's Choir, Concert Youth Chorale, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Millikan Children's Choir, Concert Youth Chorale, performing a work called Cantate Domino, Sing to the Lord. At their concert last year, did you say spring concert last year?
It was the spring concert, that's
and,
right.
And that's Melissa Miller, who is director of the Millikan Children's Choir program. Their top two choirs will perform Sunday at 3 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock. It says right here, 4 o'clock, at 4 o'clock at First Lutheran Church. Indicator on Decatur Street, and it's free, so no tickets required for that. And this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods, celebrating their 10th anniversary at 6th and University in Champaign, now through December 13th. World Harvest features imported chocolates, cookies, cheeses, gift baskets, and party catering. Also through the holidays, daily food tastings with an expanded tasting on Saturdays. Melissa, what is the relationship between the choir and Millikan University?
That's an exciting part of the program. Within Millikan School of Music, they have a department that's called the Preparatory Department. And the Prep Department offers private lessons, and they've done different ORF classes, summer camps, and things like that. And so the Millikan Children's Choir is actually within that umbrella of a program. And it's just another one of those, the finer Prep Department offerings. What we really pride ourselves in, too, is just being having exceptional music teachers and excellent choral directors as well, to just kind of follow through with that Millikan commitment. You know, Millikan has a very strong school of music, and we want to make sure that we hold that standard as well.
And a very strong choral program.
Exactly. Actually, last year, some of your listeners just last weekend might have attended the Vespers program. Last year at this time of year, Concert Youth Chorale was just finishing singing at Vespers as well with a little cameo performance. And that's certainly not something that we'll look to do every year. As you can imagine, that's a huge undertaking, but it's an exciting opportunity. And in the spring, Concert Youth Chorale will join some of the collegiate choirs and the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra performing Mahler's Third under the direction of Dr. Luxner at Millikan.
So, wow, that'll be exciting.
Very excited.
That wonderful. Excited. Is it the fifth movement, I think, the bim-bom, bim-bom.
Exactly, bom, correct.
With
exactly
the children's
correct.
Choir imitating the bells. And that's a monumental piece of music. That should be exciting for them. I am so frustrated that I missed the Vespers concert because I talked with Brad Holmes on the phone about it. We aired the interview on this program, and you know, there were so many things going on that weekend.
Yes.
And also this coming weekend. I'll try to get through some of them later on in the program today when we run through the calendar. There's just an extraordinary amount going on, and you have to pick and choose, and which one is an hour's drive away and which one is close to you.
Exactly. 'Tis the season, we always say in the musician's world, right? It's just one concert after another, oftentimes different events.
Well, and I keep hearing such wonderful things about the choirs over there too. Now, for me, we're sitting here in Urbana at the moment, so that's over there. But for you listeners, it might be right in your backyard, or might be a lot closer than it is for other listeners. So by all means, if you can get over to Decatur on Sunday, go hear the children's choir. If somebody listening has a child who might want to join the choir, what do they have to do?
We would love to have them. Every fall, we have what we call placement auditions. And I will say that we consider our program to be a bit of a year-round program. However, with that said, we do take new enrollment in January.
Year-round meaning including the summer?
Yes, with some hesitation from me. We have a summer sings camp, and we certainly encourage all of our year-long kids to participate. However, with vacations and such, you know, we're flexible. But we do try to keep the commitment strong. However, like I said, we do have open enrollment again in January, and they can call area code 217-425-4698, and that will connect you to Carol Greenleaf. She's our Preparatory Department Secretary, and she'll be able to jot down all the information and even set you up with the time or offer any of the details. Carol helps us keep a strong program as well, keeping all those details straight.
And if you forget that number or don't catch it, we'll try to give it again later. It's very easy to find the web page for the Millikan Children's Choir. All I did was Google exactly that.
Exactly.
And Millikan, by the way, is with I's.
Right.
M-I-L-L-I-K-I-N. Google will ask you, did you mean Millikan with an E? No, you did not.
Correct. That's correct.
Millikan Children's Choir. And I used to always forget the spelling of that for a long time, but now don't. I note on that web page, looking here at the Kinder Choir segment, it says that early child Early childhood music and movement classes, though not required, are ideal preparation for this group. Are those other programs offered through the Prep Division?
They are. Those music and movement classes are offered through the Prep Department. Christine Smith, the same director that conducts Kinder Choir and the Apprentice Singers, also leads those. I can testify those are phenomenal classes. My own children participate in the music and movement program, and it's, you know, the purpose of all that early childhood education, at least in kind of drawing into the choir program as well, Christine is really doing a great job to teach kids, for example, how to find their singing voice, giving them a wide appreciation for different musics, helping them recognize steady beat, things like that, things that I, you know, directing Concert Youth Chorale, take for granted. And she's kind of bringing that to light in Kinder Choir and the Apprentice Singers, and also within that music and movement program.
What is the movement part of that, and then how does that relate to being in a choir?
She does. Christine does a lot of different things. Within the music and movement class, for example, they'll do finger plays. They'll do short dances. They'll even just walk around in a circle to the beat, things like that. Within Kinder Choir, within our choral program, I know we do a lot of folk dancing within the younger three choirs. We do a lot of different play parties and game songs. And those really highlight a couple of things. One is just certainly that, like I just mentioned, that concept of steady beat, which seems a lot easier than it really is for a lot to hear and to take note of.
Oh, it's not even easy for professional musicians.
Exactly. And some other concepts, you know, phrasing, dynamics, there's a huge range of musical ideas that you can show with your body through movement. And that's just another aspect of the teaching that goes on within the program.
Well, it's good to hear that you carry that through at least the first few levels.
Absolutely. You know, I'm proud to say, and probably the most proud to say, our program is a K through 12 sequential, you know, music teaching. We are a Kodai-based program, which means we use the Kodai method. We have a curriculum, and that those that aren't familiar with Zoltan Kodai, not only a composer, linguist, musician, teacher, et cetera, helped to develop a method of which to learn music. And that's something that we have kind of built our program around. And I'm proud to say it goes on in all of the choirs. So we take the students wherever they are at within their own musical understanding and try to push them further. And that's exciting.
Would it be easy at all or possible at all to explain briefly some elements of that Kodai method?
I'd love to. Sure. We'll just kind of talk through. Let's take, for example, rhythmic elements. So in Kinder Choir, again, we've said it many times, those kids are trying to start recognizing beat. They'll also start, for example, perhaps with their bodies or their voices, et cetera, trying to at least experience duple versus triple meter, things like that.
1-2-1-2 versus 1-2-3-1-2.
Okay. Exactly correct. And then they'll move on to the Apprentice Singers, where they'll start to perhaps read some of those rhythms, or they'll start to at least identify them. They'll use syllables, for example, ta 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 ti duple, or ta tu te ta tu te triple. Then they move on to the Singers Choir, and they're still experiencing with those, and then they really start to put the visual connection to. So it's the Singers Choir where we really start to see how does this printed page work with my voice? How do I begin to sing this? The Singers Choir works a lot more with printed music than the younger two choirs. And then by the time they get to Concert Youth Chorale, we just continue adding upon that. So something that just started with a very simple rhythmic content, by the time they get to Concert Youth Chorale, they're doing dotted rhythms in mixed changing meters, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, let's hear another sample of the Millikan Children's Choir. Again, this is the Concert Youth Chorale from last spring's concert. And this this piece is?
This piece is called Watané, and it's actually an Iroquois lullaby. And again, this last year, this ensemble was directed by Beth Holmes, and we were teasing. I'm not entirely certain how to say this composer's names, but I think it's Siret. And again, it's an Iroquois lullaby, and it will start the beginning of the piece. One might not think they're listening to choral music. They might think they just ventured off into the wilderness. But have no fear. You'll get back.
Okay. Melissa Miller of the Millikan Children's Choir program with us here on Live and Local. Millikan Children's Choir Concert Youth Chorale from last spring's concert in a piece that I was called Watané, I presume,
exactly.
Since that is the word that's repeated. And I know this wasn't your choir, so you probably don't know what that means, but I'd be curious to know. And do you have any idea how much did they enjoy doing that piece?
You know, I certainly wasn't in rehearsals, but the looks on their faces, I think it was a delight. I think that... you know, the program offers such a variety of music, and I think this was just one of those pieces that was far enough out there that wasn't normal, everyday choral music for them, you know, making bird calls and such. I think it was an exciting piece.
And the soloists obviously must have, I would assume, enjoyed doing that.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So the choirs are performing Sunday at 4 o'clock, First Lutheran Church in Decatur. You want to give us an idea of some of what's on the concert with the singer? So it's the singer's choir, the concert youth chorale, and then that the mixed group.
Exactly, exactly.
The older group with the changed voices.
Exactly, that high school ensemble piece as well. Yes, well, you know, it's that time of year, and so we'll get a little kind of fun, lighter choral music, just some beautiful singing. They'll kind of sing through the periods for a bit, and then we'll get also hear some familiar holiday music as well. So, for example, the women's ensemble will sing a jazzy rendition of Let It Snow. We'll close the entire concert with Ding Dong Merrily on High with some guest brass quintet. So it'll be sure to be an exciting event, but also get everyone in the spirit if they're not there yet.
So when you say sing through the periods, meaning like there might be some Renaissance music, some Baroque music.
Correct.
Mozart era and so on.
Exactly, exactly. And that's something maybe not, you know, every stylistic period might not be represented at every concert, but for our entire year, I think it's safe to say that they are. We try really hard to also, again, kind of just teaching piece of it, we want to make sure that we acknowledge all the periods as well.
Well, it sounds like a well-balanced program both for this concert and for the year's work for any of the choirs, and the choir program having all these levels starting with the very young up through high school. If you're interested in more information about the Millikan Children's Choir program, you can best thing to do is Google them. Or you can find it by going to the Millikan University website, which is simply millikan.edu. And Melissa Miller is the director of the program. She's been my guest here on this portion of Live and Local. Their concert, 4 o'clock Sunday, First Lutheran Church on Decatur Street in Decatur. And thanks very much for coming over to talk to me.
Thank you so much. It was a delight.
Coming up next, we have Garrett Taylor, who is a native of Catlin. He's a pianist, singer, and actor, and he is in town to perform on Saturday with the Danville Symphony Orchestra in their Voices of Christmas concert, and also Jeremy Swirling, who's the conductor of the orchestra, will be with us as well. Support for our broadcast today comes in part from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status saves cost and our future. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information is online at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910. And that was the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers, and I was talking earlier with Melissa Miller about knowing who your composers are, and I can't suddenly remember who that is. Somebody, Jessel, whose name I have forgotten. Do you know Jeremy?
No, I don't.
That would be Jeremy Swirling, who's with me in the studio right now. He's the conductor and music director of the Danville Symphony Orchestra, and he has brought with him Garrett Taylor, who is native of Catlin, and has gone on to a career, or developing a career, in as a pianist, actor, singer.
Yes, all of the above.
All of the above. And I just read an article on you in the Champaign News Gazette, Champaign Urbana News Gazette, hometown performer returning for concert. So how long have you been away, and how does it feel to be back?
Oh, it's great to be back, especially, you know, during the holiday season. Always love to see family and friends, and it's a very different feeling being in central Illinois compared to the big city.
And that would be the big city of New
York. New
York is where you are?
Yes, the Big Apple.
Yeah. Why is it called the Big Apple?
That is a good question. I don't know.
I'm just going to start asking a bunch of rhetorical questions, and then you guys don't have to do anything. How's that? Well, they're here because Danville Symphony is giving its Voices of Christmas concert on Saturday evening at 7:30 at Danville High School Auditorium. Is the Christmas concert, is that an annual event for the orchestra?
It has been an annual event for the orchestra since about 1992, and it makes a lot of sense to do a Christmas concert in a town like Danville. And we enjoy it, and the community expects it. But I'll tell you something, programming for a Christmas concert year after year is a bear, because the challenge is, how many different ways can you play or sing all the standard Christmas fare? And so it turns into a real creative challenge, and that's why we're so pleased to have Garrett coming to sing with the orchestra, because he brings a fresh approach to some of these Christmas standards, and that's why we involve the choirs and the students as well, because that's how we mix it up.
Well, and then also how many of the ones everybody knows do you want to put on versus some things that they might not have heard, because some people may be sick of White Christmas, whereas other people have to hear White Christmas for, you know, the thousandth time.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the business of trying to please everybody all the time, and it's an impossible goal.
Absolutely. Who are the choirs involved?
The choirs involved are the three Danville High School choirs, the Delegations, the Contemporaries, and the Madrigal Singers. Those are the student choirs, and they make up approximately 86 kids altogether. And then we also have recently formed the Danville Symphony Orchestra Community Choir, which is turning out to be quite a good group. It's about 70 or so adults from the community. And we're hoping that if this works out well, we'll be able to bring them back next season to do something else.
Was that formed just this fall?
It was formed just this fall, just for this concert. There are a number of small church choirs, and there's the Vermilion Festival Chorus in town, but they're all kind of, around 10 to 20 people. And we needed, obviously, a much larger group to sing with the orchestra, especially the repertoire that we're doing, which is the Many Moods of Christmas and the Hallelujah Chorus from the Messiah. So it was really necessary to bring a large group together. And we put the word out, and people have flocked to it. So it's brilliant.
What's happened with the Vermilion Festival Chorus? Because that used to be a large choir. They used to perform at the Danville Symphony.
They did.
Regularly.
They did used to perform. And it comes and goes. It comes and goes. It just depends on how things are going with, artistic leadership and with organizational leadership and so on and so forth. But, you know, some arts organizations have difficulty keeping things going, and they're up and down.
So who's directing the Danville Symphony Chorus?
Well, they have been prepared by Marty Linval, who is an excellent vocal choral teacher at the high school. And we've also had some help from Larry Voorhees, who is a former high school choir teacher and a former director of the Vermilion Festival Chorus. So they had three or four rehearsals while I was out of town in Baltimore, where I live, and I rehearsed with them once in October, and I've had them once this week, and we'll have a dress rehearsal tomorrow. So about seven or eight rehearsals all together for these two numbers, which are pretty standard fare, the Many Moods, the first suite from the Many Moods, and the Hallelujah Chorus.
Which isn't necessarily easy on its own, but it is one of those things that lots of people know.
Exactly.
Helps.
That's the main idea. Everybody knows the tunes, so it makes it a little bit easier to learn it.
Sure, and do the harmonies and so on. Yeah. Well, I want to hear more about some of what you're doing, Garrett. But first, here is one of the tunes. Should be familiar to most listeners, I imagine, that's going to be on your concert, Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride. And this happens to be played by the Boston Pops, led by Arthur Fiedler. Perennial favorite, and it is really a wonderful tune. Sleigh Ride, Leroy Anderson, Boston Pops, led by Arthur Fiedler on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Anytime I think of Arthur Fiedler, I always think of my grandfather, because my grandfather just loved Arthur Fiedler. He was he just thought he was the best conductor ever. He's, you know, one of the few conductors he actually knew about, and did wonderful things, you know, developing the whole pops literature. And now we've got lots of pops orchestras in the world, and essentially this is a Christmas pops concert for the Danville Symphony.
Indeed it
on
is.
On Saturday.
Yeah, indeed it is. Although we try to combine classics and pops in it. So, for example, we're leading off the concert with the Polonaise from the Christmas Eve Suite by Rimsky-Korsakov, and we'll be doing Winter from The Seasons by Vivaldi, and a little bit of Johann Strauss, the Thunder and Lightning Polka. So I always like to throw in the classical. And, you know, sure, they're light classics, but it's classical nonetheless, and it fits nicely.
Well, and the Rimsky-Korsakov, I bet, is one that people might not even know.
Right, they won't know it. But that's how we combine, you know, the educational mission and the mission of introducing people to the classics at the same time.
Well, and keeping things exciting.
Right.
You know, for all those who like to hear new things now and then. Jeremy Swirling is the conductor of the Danville Symphony, and they are giving their Voices of Christmas concert Saturday, 7:30. That's tomorrow night at the Danville High School Auditorium. A very, very lovely space that you have there. And their featured soloist is Garrett Taylor, who was born in Catlin. And give us an idea of some of the things you have done since you left there, and what you're doing now, what you hope to be doing next.
Yeah, I hope to be doing lots of things next. Graduated from Catlin High School and went right on to Millikan University. Got my degree there in voice, and did lots and lots of musicals, and was very, very fortunate to sing with the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra many, many times with the choirs and some of the big concerts. And then from there, I got an agent and moved to New York City, got a theatrical agent, and began feverishly auditioning for Broadway musicals and lots of other things. And when I'm not auditioning, I'm also a pianist, and I'm a sub in the Pit of Wicked on Broadway. And I teach voice lessons, and I work at Manhattan School of Music and NYU when they need me. And then
working as?
I work as a pianist and vocal coach there.
Okay.
And then I also work at a college for musical theater called AMDA, which is the American Musical Dramatic Academy in the New York City campus. We also have a campus in L.A. The New York one is more musical theater based, and the L.A. campus is more has a turn towards the movies. They try to in television and film acting. So I work at the New York City campus, and I'm a music director there and vocal coach and pianist. And that's what I do. That's how I make money when I'm not performing.
So have you landed some roles?
I have not landed some roles. I'm a very, very young performer. And in the meantime, while I'm auditioning, I'm just trying to, you know, start a concert career and start a music directing career. That's also something else that I am very passionate about. And
music directing musicals.
Yes, musicals, exactly. And I do have lots of orchestrating and things for little projects and lots of cabaret performances. And I have a church gig. Every musician in New York City who's worth his salt has a church gig. Got to do that. Yeah. One of the big churches there. And I love that job. It's great. So that's what I've been up to. Very, very busy. I try to be constantly doing as many little projects and stretching myself musically.
So you said you're very young. Were you 26?
I'm 26, yes.
And so what's a typical age, if there is such a thing, for people to break into Broadway?
Oh, my gosh. It just really, really depends on what your type would be. In musical theater, we have certain types, like the ingenue or the character actor or the leading lady. So it just really depends. There's so many variables that go into auditions. How you look, what shoes you're wearing, what song you sang.
Obviously what the role is.
Yeah, what the role is, what they're looking for, and you just never, never know, and it's such a grab bag.
Have you figured out, or has anybody told you, what type you are?
Is that the issue? Yeah, it is an issue. It has changed. I recently lost a good amount of weight, and that has put me in a very different category. And so my agent at the time didn't really know what to do with me. I was a character actor, and now, you know, but I'm still a young guy, and I'd lost some weight, and that, you know, I'm a tenor and I have this big voice, but I have a more of a baby face, and that, you know, they don't know what to do with me.
So you got the goatee to avoid the baby face.
Yes, thing? Exactly. Yeah. So I look a little bit older. Yeah. Very, very wise of you.
It's not quite a goatee. Yeah. It sort of sculpts its way around across the sides of the chin.
Yeah, and I try to look, you know, brainy wearing my black glasses.
Yeah. Very hip, too, as well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try. Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of your voice, you brought along a recording of you doing some pieces, settings of Shakespearean sonnets. Did you say that this fellow wrote this music for you?
He did. I think 7 of them are done. I have in possession. But he's trying to get 16. I think, I can't remember. They're all the Shakespeare love sonnets. I can't remember how many there are, but they're are too many to probably sing.
Well, he certainly wrote a lot of them. I mean, here, the one we're going to hear is Sonnet 116.
Yes, it is.
So he's obviously not going to write 116 of these things. He is Kevin Finn.
Yes.
And how do you know him?
He was a wonderful friend and actually a professor of mine at Millikan University. We have a great program there. He's an artist in residence. He no longer works there. But they bring in professional people in the musical theater industry, and he came and was a music director and taught theory, and we became good friends. And when I was not in the musicals on stage, I was in the orchestra with him in the pit, and I learned a lot from him, and he became a very big mentor of mine, and now he's a very good friend of mine, and we do concerts all over, and he's just recently started composing for me. And so this is some of his new works, and we were able to perform them and record them a couple weeks ago, actually.
So it's tenor Garrett Taylor with pianist and composer Kevin Finn, his setting of Shakespeare's Sonnet 116, heard on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Thank you.
tenor Garrett Taylor with pianist Kevin Finn, who also wrote that setting of Shakespeare's Sonnet 116 for Garrett Taylor, which he was just saying as we were listening that it's rather exciting to have that experience and to have somebody write something for you tailored, no pun intended, that just came out, for your voice.
Yes, yes.
Where you can say, oh, that doesn't work for me. Can you please change that?
Yeah, yeah. But he's very smart. He's heard me sing for many years, you know, through my development as a young tenor. So he was able to, you know, change it up, cater to me and my voice.
That's nice to be catered to.
Yeah.
Tenors like that, don't they?
Probably more than one.
Garrett is singing with the Danville Symphony Orchestra in their on their Voices of Christmas concert Saturday evening at 7:30 at Danville High School Auditorium, along with the Madrigal Singers, Contemporaires, and delegation from the high school. And also the Sweet Adelines are going to be joining them, and the newly formed, specifically for this concert, Danville Symphony Orchestra Chorus.
Community Choir.
Community Choir, thank
yes.
you. And that's Jeremy Swirling, who is the master of ceremonies with the baton. He's the music director of the orchestra, and put this whole program together, which is, as you said earlier, is quite a challenge to choose the music and then to marshal all the forces on what? Two rehearsals,
it'll be quite an extravaganza near the end because the high school kids will sing a few things by themselves with the orchestra, and of course the symphony choir will sing The Many Moods of Christmas, but then for the grand finale, we have the kids joining the adults for the big Hallelujah Chorus ending, and so there'll be 160 singers on stage in the auditorium for that great big finale. Really looking forward to that.
And presumably the audience will all be on its feet because you're supposed to when you do the Hallelujah Chorus. So,
let us hope so. But a great experience for the kids.
Yeah, exactly. No, that sounds like a real extravaganza, and it should be a wonderful concert. And I appreciate both of you taking the time to come over and be on the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And I hope you have a swell concert.
Thanks.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Here are, if I can find my calendar, some other things going on in the area. I know I brought it in here with me. And let's see what we can mention in a very short period of time. Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts, a swing band, 100 Years of Cab Calloway, the name of their program. At the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, they're presenting the Nonsense Christmas musical called Nuncrackers throughout the weekend, various performance times. Parkland Theater is presenting its production of a musical version of A Christmas Carol. That is running through the weekend as well. Champaign-Urbana Theater Company is holding auditions for the musical Rent tonight from 7 to 10 and tomorrow from 11 to 6, I believe, at the Busey Center in downtown Urbana. Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana presenting the play Love Song. Rantoul Theater Group presenting a musical, a stage adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life. Springfield Ballet Company presenting The Nutcracker Saturday and Sunday at Sangamon Auditorium. The Central Illinois Children's Chorus giving its winter concert Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. Desafinado is performing with Bacci e Calado at Canopy Club in Urbana. And I think we've just about covered everything. Oh, the Pantographs Holiday Spectacular is at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Saturday and Sunday. And that about does it. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the show on Monday, we have the Millikan University Faculty Jazz Sextet performing with us live on the show. It's going to be a sunny afternoon, a high around 35, mostly clear tonight, the low 17, and tomorrow mostly sunny in the morning, increasing cloudiness in the afternoon with a high of 36. And Sunday's outlook cloudy with some rain showers. Mainly in the morning, the high will be around 38 degrees. It's WYNL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. We are the listener-supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.